Alabama and Tennessee syndicated news talk leader, Right Side Radio. Phil Williams here live in the Right Side Studios. Man, we got the local, the state, the national, sometimes the international. And oh, yeah, like the dude just said, solid, conservative, and just plain right. Well, as if we didn't need more news, we're going to talk about the news as the news right now. So there's been a major shift in what I would call the media landscape. And it's not like I have years of experience with this, but even me as a new guy in the media world can see it. If you look at it right now, you can see that the White House Correspondents Association is no longer allowed to pick who gets to ask questions in the press pool. You got non-traditional outlets and content creators in online media that are being given entree to the White House, to the Pentagon, to others. You've got any number of people that are more influential than CNN and more influential than NBC and more, and they're all in non-traditional means. Well, one guy who's been around media forever is somebody you hear on this show all the time, but you may not recognize all of his background. So Jeff Poor, who is currently the editor-in-chief of 1819 News, he also has his own radio show down on FM Talk 106.5 in Mobile. But Jeff started off working with Tucker Carlson at Daily Caller back in the day. He worked with Steve Bannon. He's still to this day part-time editorial staff at Breitbart. He does a column for Lanyap, and there's 1819. All that to say, he's been around. I thought I'd get his perspective on what we're seeing. Jeff Poor, how you doing, man?
Doing well. Thanks for having me on.
Well, by the way, Fat Tuesday, you've been down there in the thick of things in Mobile.
Yeah. So the last couple of years, or I guess now 3 years, I will go down to the Fat Tuesday sort of afternoon slate of parades, the 10 to 12:30 parades. Not too wild. A little more wild than what goes on in Fairhope where I live on the Mardi Gras docket. But we do get the Comet Cowboys and KOR, and it's a good we are inundated with Mardi Gras throws at our house right now.
Yeah, having spent 8 to 10 years, I believe it was, in Mobile, people don't realize in North Alabama that Mobile, downtown Mobile, shuts down during Mardi Gras.
Well, the whole city shuts down. I mean, yeah. I was a student at South Alabama. I mean, yeah. We got out of school. Didn't work. They would close the banks if they could get away with it. But yeah, it's just like its own little regional holiday.
Well, nonetheless, you still work, and so let me ask you this: as we're watching, it's as if the mainstream media is trying to figure out how to play catch up on what has happened with the shift. I mean, when you've got somebody like Joe Rogan, who had more influence on the national landscape for the election season than even Fox News did, give me your thoughts.
Well, I've always thought, and I think before November 11th, I really believe the media's impact was exaggerated, that especially in the eyes of politicians on Capitol Hill, or anywhere else for that matter, and high finance and, you know, all these different sectors of, like, just, you know, high tech and things like that, that they were really scared of the media. And I thought the media kind of led the charge. They made us believe, Senator, that the country was way more to the left than it really was, than what reality is.
Yeah.
It was trying to create this perception. And so you saw this, right? You saw, like, national brands, you know, leaning into the woke, leaning into the Black Lives Matter, trying to, you know, make a social impression. You saw it with tech. We saw it with the way they, you know, they handle a lot of, you know, language and things like that. And with the media, they created that. And then November 5th, 2024 sort of said, well, no, that's not real where the country is at all.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, and this was the media's best shot. Hitler, Trump equal Hitler, and then all these conspiracy theories. And, you know, remember Madison Square Garden, they were trying to recreate a Nazi rally or some nonsense. And you thought, well, you know, that asymmetrical coverage, it's over. You know, Trump is done. And he wins the popular vote. It's only been done twice, since Reagan. And or since George Bush the first, and he disproved all that.
Yeah, he absolutely did. I mean,
so here's what you need to know, Senator. it is not cheap to run one of these mainstream media outlets. These are highly educated people. They make big six-figure salaries. They live in the most posh neighborhoods of D.C. and New York. It is very, very expensive to run the Washington Post. It is very expensive to run CBS News. I mean, these things are gold plate Cadillac plans. And these holding companies, the way they've always approached it was, well, look, we may lose money. This may be like a very, very expensive endeavor, but we get the satisfaction of having like a sway in the national conversation. We move bills on Capitol Hill. We impact elections. And guess what? When November 5th happened, it was like, no, you don't. You don't have any sway. You're not influential. Well, and that was like the big wake-up call, right? Yeah. The big wake-up call. It probably in the days leading up to it, when it looked like Trump was going to beat her, Kamala Harris, that's when you saw a little bit of backing off from Jeff Bezos and others. But I think now everybody's kind of waking up to this, and you're starting to see these big holding companies and own these big media properties look at these news gathering operations, and they're like, why are we paying for this?
Absolutely. And I look at it and I think, you know, first of all, so 1819 and Right Side, we both started around the same time, and we can pivot to things easier. We're more flexible, and we're not bound to having to go into all the print medium and do the things and have to maintain the super high dollar, you know, studios. And there's a place for that still, but there's been a complete sea change. I mean, even right now, the White House Press Association is trying to figure out what just happened, because they no longer have the absolute sway over the White House anymore. They've been told there's a new sheriff in town, and the content creators are given just as much entree, if you will. You were there back in the beginning with Daily Caller. I mean, Daily Caller was one of the early forays into internet-based news sourcing. What was it like back in the early days?
Well, back in the early days, I mean, you know, I assume most of your audience probably watched Tucker Carlson with his old Fox News.
Sure.
And he did the monologues, and that was like kind of must-watch TV. That was our editorial meeting, except with a little more profanity. You could get away with that editorial meeting. But yeah, you saw what Tucker Carlson was. I mean, I go back before that, Senator. It was like the Drudge Report before Matt Drudge went crazy. That was where, you know, you got your bang for your buck. You'd get something on the Drudge Report, and that moved the needle. That got the news narrative sort of rolling in a certain direction. Back when he was still conservative, kind of dining off the Monica Lewinsky stardom. But when Tucker started that site, he had just been fired by MSNBC, and because he went from CNN Crossfire. We remember the Jon Stewart episode, and Jon Stewart kind of ended that show, and then Tucker winds up with like a mid-afternoon show on MSNBC, and it lasted a few years. He got fired, and then that's when he launched the Daily Caller. But there were a lot of startups around that era. I mean, there was, that's when Breitbart really first started taking off. You had the Free Beacon, you had some that are no longer with us, like the Weekly Standard and things like that.
Bill Kristol fading away into Never Trump Land.
Yes. Well, and like when I was in D.C., like you would go to like these conservative movement sort of gatherings, right? And we were all one big happy family. I mean, Bill Kristol was, you know, there drinking a beer with us, and we were, you know, I mean, that was before MAGA, that was pre Donald Trump, you know, like Charles Krauthammer, you'd see guys like that, or just around at these gatherings, and Trump, in some ways, when he came along, I mean, there was a big schism in the conservative side of the media equation, and it's still to this day, there's still people like Quinn Hillier and. You know, they just have not gotten over that.
No, they haven't. Well, listen, with about 2 or 3 minutes left here, so where do you see it going? I mean, is print media going by the wayside? And I think radio has still got huge room left to move, but even radio is starting to run parallel to podcasting. What are your thoughts on what's the next big foray into media?
I mean, they're going to get rid of the big salaries, like Joy Reid earning $3 million a year, right? Like, I mean, $3 million.
I'll do it for half that. How about that?
Like the show she's got replacing her is going to have three people on it making probably a quarter of that. I mean, it's just you're going to see a lot of cost-cutting measures. You're going to see these big-name personalities kind of go by the wayside. There's no return on investment there. And I think print media, you'll always have the big newspapers. I mean, they'll just print a copy. It's like a legacy vanity thing, but it'll always be there. It won't be as important as it is. You know, what the online media do. I think radio, I think the days of corporate radio are in trouble here. And I don't know if you're on any corporate stations, but some of these radio clusters, I mean, the big radio companies came in and they bought all these properties up and they thought that they could do it, you know, kind of use synergy and like one source ad sales. And that's turned out not to be a good idea. I think you're going to see it go back to the way it used to be, more independent mom and pop type operations.
Would not be a bit surprised. I think a good day, too, you guys, 1819 News started, and you've got press access, and that was even a thing at first, wasn't it, in the State House here in Alabama, just to get press pool access, didn't you?
Well, no, it's easy to get press pool access and the press gallery, but they don't, there's no point in it. They don't do anything. They don't have sources. The media in this state, for the most part, in that press pool, is left of center.
Oh my God!
They don't talk to Republicans, and Republicans don't talk to them because they don't trust them. So it's not like really any news gathering because the Democrats are not in the know. They don't know anything, and it's kind of a weird upside down place. And that's why like the 1819 Yellowhammer places like that sort of thrive right now.
Well, more to come, I think. And I think that what we're seeing with the White House's direct, and of course, Trump even owns his own Trump Media and Truth Social. So, you know, he was going to lean towards non-traditional anyway at some point. But anyway, plenty of room in the world to come. Media shifting. But Jeff Poore has been there since the beginning. Jeff, thanks for your comments, man. We appreciate your time.
Hey, thank you for having me on.
All right. See you, buddy. All right, you'll hear him probably tomorrow, too, on the Grand Council right here with him and Dale Jackson calling in on Wednesdays. We do that every Wednesday. But in the meantime, we're taking a break right now. I'll come back and give you some more thoughts on this when we get back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back.